For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
We got a lot to chop up. We are going to start with our buddy Steve Weish because of timing and this being draft week. He is going to join us in just a few minutes. But trust us, we are going to talk plenty about the Hawks who have let go of Landry Fields. He's been relieved of his duties as general manager. We will talk about where the Hawks go. We will talk about the loss in the play-in game. We will also talk about the Braves finally getting it together and winning a series. We have a lot to dive into today. You don't want to be anywhere else. But we're going to start with our buddy Steve Weish because, again, Mike, this is draft week, and nothing tops NFL draft week. It's the most exciting week of the year for me because teams change. You draft the right guy, whether it be a quarterback or an edge rusher, Mike, right, and your franchise changes.
And everybody has a strategy. Everybody thinks they know what their team needs, and they think, now, in our case, we need some defense. Don't have all the picks. How are we going to play it? We never, ever move down. We'll ask Steve Weish about that in just a bit, but I would love to see us do it. Everybody loves to be that, you know, whether you're playing Madden Carl in the general manager mode, everybody thinks they could do this, and it's kind of fun for everybody to watch over the weekend.
No doubt. So all of that is on the way. We will get into this decision by the Hawks, which is front and center. It happened just a few hours ago, and I think a lot of people were taken aback by it. They were taken off guard, and rightfully so. If you look at what happened this year with Jalen Johnson getting injured, some people would tell you that Landry Fields, it felt like he did a fairly good job under the considerating, you know, under the factors that he was put under. But, Mike, this is about the big picture, and we're going to dive into this because now the Hawks, who I think this is their big – I'm not – this is not hyperbole. This is their biggest offseason in a very long time. And the reason is because you have a major decision to make on Trey. And whether you decide to pay him long-term or not and give him a supermax deal, Mike, which potentially he could be up for if he ends up being NBA All-Pro or NBA All-First Team or second or third team, I think this is the major decision that's in front of them. On top of that, Mike, you said it. I think you tweeted it out. It feels like we're spinning our wheels.
Yeah, it just feels like we're up on blocks or spinning your wheels, whatever metaphor you want to use. We're just not doing anything. And just real quick, since he took over stewardship as general manager from Travis Schlenk, we were 41-41 in 22-23. Since then, we've seen the Pacers, the Magic, and now the Pistons all leapfrog us. So these are all teams that were in almost similar situations. We had the benefit of having a star in Trae Young.
Correct.
And those guys did not. And they all drafted well, and they've augmented it with free agency, and they've got a, like, they're just as young as we were, and unfortunately, they're doing better than we are. So I just feel like we are in this rut. They've got to do something big.
I think the good news, and we'll get into this a little bit later on, Dyson Daniels, we've been saying it all year. I was touting him on FanDuel Sports Network about being the Defensive Player of the Year and the Most Improved Player. He is up for both of those awards. I don't know if he'll win both, but the fact that he is a finalist is great. And Zachary Richache is up also for Rookie of the Year. That news came out yesterday. But the news front and center is that the Hawks front office is about to change. And as it does, Mike, these decisions that however they're going to move forward is going to, you know, certainly shape our team and hopefully move us in the right direction. The problem is We just haven't. We just haven't done that. And you know, for everybody that wants to talk about Trey, and I'll say this, Mike, and again, we're waiting on Steve Wyche. Okay, he's ready. We'll get back to this because Steve has got limited time, guys. You want to talk to him draft week. Steve Wyche from NFL Network joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steve, as always, brother, good to have you on. I want to start with what Adam Schefter was reporting, and that is that the Falcons are looking, obviously, for a trade partner for Kirk Cousins, but they also want that trade partner to pay at least $20 million of the remaining contract that's left for Kirk Cousins. Is that possible? Do you think there's a partner out there for this to happen potentially this week?
I think there's a partner. I don't think that partner is going to pay $20 million of it, but you know, it depends on who the partner is, too, and what they have kind of on their salary cap space and their allotment. I mean, I think right now you're looking at two teams, and that's Cleveland and that's Pittsburgh, who could probably do this. They may want to wait until after the draft before they make that type of commitment. But as I said on the show weeks ago, I think there's going to be a trade market for Kirk Cousins. Now it just depends on how much they're willing to pay of Kirk's contract. And I think when push comes to shove, if they can get back a team that pays $10 million of it, which is that $10 million bonus they got, then it's a wash and a win.
I know everybody is sick and tired of this Aaron Rodgers watch, Steve, but, I mean, it does kind of keep us in limbo like a bunch of other teams because he is tied to the Steelers. Do you think he's going to sit it out and wait for someone to get injured and come to the rescue? What do you think the plan is here with Rodgers?
Man, who knows with him? I mean, I think because retirement is a legitimate option for him, you know, maybe he doesn't want to be in Pittsburgh. Maybe he doesn't want to be in Cleveland. Maybe he does wait. But the teams don't want to wait on him anymore. I mean, when he came out and kind of said some of the things he said last week on Pat McAfee's show, you just kind of have to wonder, how all in is he? And he brought that up. How all in can I be? How, you know, that's part of it. And look, I know Aaron. I think that's only fair of him to put out there for the team and for himself. And if there's any doubt, Steelers have met with him. You know, some of these teams have met with him. If there's any doubt, then they've got to do what they've got to do. And that's where I think the Kirk Cousins trade comes into play, and I think that's also where the draft comes into play.
It is all about the draft, guys, as we're counting down. Steve Wyche with us here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. So is Shador going to be a first-round pick? Or is this or is this all just misdirection and misinformation? Look, I think the kid's got the skill set. I think he's got the tools and talent, Steve. But everything I'm seeing now is like, well, he may not be a first-rounder. How?
It depends on the team you talk to. I mean, some teams don't love him. Some teams like him a lot. You know, is that enough? And it depends on your circumstance. Again, we come back to Cleveland, which has a second pick. They're not taking him there. I think they're going to take Travis Hunter from everything I'm hearing, from some of the indications I've gotten. You know, we know Abdul Carter is a possibility. But could they use their high second-round pick to trade back into the first round to get him if he falls that far? Does Pittsburgh take him at that spot, especially after what they just went through with Kenny Pickett, you know, with the same type of draft, same type of situation, taking him, I think, at like 21, and that didn't work out. Can they afford to do that? So, you know, with Shador, you know, look, I was at Colorado's Pro Day. I spoke with Deion. Deion isn't really that big on Shador going top three, top five, whatever. He wants his son to go to the best situation where he's got a chance to succeed with his skill set, to be in a building that's got some good, solid foundation and some good coaching. And he just wants a chance, you know, this is Deion speaking, for Shador to go to the right type of environment. What that is, we'll see. But I know that Shador and Deion want him to play as soon as possible.
It does seem like the Giants really have kicked the tires on him more than anybody. But then who knows what that franchise is going to do? Steve Wyche is with us on the waitforit.com hotline. Do you expect some big surprise move? I've seen a lot of stuff written about a lot of guys. Remember how devalued the running back market was, Steve? Now, guys, everybody wants to get up there and get Ashton Jeanty.
Well, yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you? For several reasons. One, he's a damn good player, right? And if your team's got an offensive line and maybe a limited quarterback where the run game helps, like a Las Vegas Raiders, you know, yeah, you take him because the money on a rookie deal, if that's all you're going to get out of him and you don't, you know, and you can franchise him two or three times, that's what I think. The money is good for a young running back, you know, for him to get paid and for the team to make, you know, for the team in terms of salary cap management. So I think Ashton Jeanty's a guy. There's a couple other players. You know, some people like the guy out of University of North Carolina. Some people like both running backs out of Ohio State. The one thing is, this is an incredibly deep running back draft. Like, you're going to see, you know, a lot of running backs you get picked up in the sixth and seventh round end up making, you know, an impact, like, you know, the running back last year out of Tampa Bay. So, but Genty is clearly, everyone deems him as the special one. You know, he's someone who's probably not getting past, you know, the top six or seven teams.
Yeah, I agree, Steve. Omarion Hampton out of North Carolina, and then Trayvon right. Henderson is the running back out of Ohio State. The Ohio State, but they've got two. I mean, I think it's Judkins right. as well, that are top five or six running backs in this draft. So no doubt, if you are looking for a running back, you can find one. And certainly, you know, at the top of this draft, they're going to be available. Even, I think, in the middle rounds. With that said, let's talk about the edge rushers, because that's somewhere where the Falcons have been talking about, you know, and getting. Steve, we haven't had a guy that has gotten over seven sacks in 5 years. So, you know, you're talking about a position of need, and then this edge rush class, whether you, you know, think Abdul Carter is going to be the next great thing or not, I think it's deep enough where you could find a couple of guys if the Falcons are committed to going there. Do you think that's where they want to go in this draft?
I have been wrong on this for like 10 years because I've been screaming. You guys have heard me say on the show, they haven't had a consistent edge rusher since John Abraham, right? Since him and Patrick Kearney.
Yep.
And, you know, you talk about, I forget the young man's name.
Arnold
Ibukete. But he was a flash in the pan. He was a 1 year 15 sack guy.
You're talking about the kid out of Clemson.
Correct. And Beasley. They haven't had anybody since that. So, yes. Do they need one? Yes. Should they draft one? Yes. Will they draft one? Man, your guess is as good as mine. But, you know, you're talking about some key edge rushers, a young man out of Marshall. There's so many good players. And, again, knowing Raheem Morris and how he can scheme. I mean, look what he did with Byron Young when he was a rookie, a third-round draft pick out of Tennessee. So, and he's turned into a fantastic pass rusher, you know, for the Rams. So, yes. I think they should draft an edge rusher. Should they draft an edge rusher? We're all going to scream. Let's fire up the choir. Reverend speak. Right. Draft an edge rusher. Right? But will they? Yeah, man. You know.
Well, we're also, Steve,
they know what they want, and we'll see.
Steve, we're also in a situation where we don't have the full complement of picks. You know, we traded last year for Matthew Judon. That obviously didn't pan out, so we don't have a third rounder. Cousins cost us a fifth rounder for being in the legal tampering zone when he spoke with the Falcons. So any chance? I mean, yes, it takes two to tango, but we never historically have ever traded down. So it might be the right year to do it.
It might be, but again, if that edge rusher, which very well could be there staring right at you, you do it. You could trade down. Again, this is where the Kirk Cousins things deal could come into play. You know, it takes two to tango. Maybe some team wants to come up and get a player that they want more than you do. Then you do it. But, you know, look, we can sit there and talk about the quantity of picks and doing that. But that quality players, there have been teams who've done great with five draft picks and nailed it.
Yep.
Do that. Be good. Your team's not that far off. You got a stud young quarterback. You can sit there and talk about, yeah, I got value out of this guy in the fourth round. Well, you know what? If you passed up on somebody in the first or second who could have made the swing vote difference to you win the division, then that doesn't mean anything to me. Get the guy who's going to help your team get out of, you know, the mediocrity, the constant, well, we're a year away. Get out of that. Get a difference maker. You know, like they've got a quarterback in Penix. You get somebody like that who can change your team, and then you can pound your chest.
Last thing for me, Steve, speaking of what you just said, how much pressure does that put on Terry Fontenot to get this right?
I think he's under a ton of pressure. You know, he was figuring it out with Arthur Smith the first go-round, but he's had a chance now to go to a second head coach, to go through some coordinator changes. I think it's huge on him to get it right because he's gotten it right at some spots. But... you know, they're still in the same place. You know, they're still in kind of that 7-10, you know, Atlanta Hawks purgatory.
Yep.
Let's graduate a level, and then you can say, okay, you know, now I feel good about things.
I know that there's got to be a sense of urgency for Arthur Blank. I mean, I know he had maybe said it publicly. We did know that he did address to his general manager and coach how disappointed he was, Steve. But I mean, you know, this will be five seasons without a trip to the playoffs, so someone's going to get fired.
Yeah. I mean, someone has to. It's you know, look, a lot of the stuff that can't be put on Terry Fontenot because of the push to make the move to get Kirk Cousins. You know, that's not made in a vacuum. You know, because they broke from their initial plan and made a run at Deshaun Watson, which they didn't get.
Right.
But the fact that they entertained it really seemed to kind of break a pattern. So a lot of that's not on the GM, okay? He's part of it, but he's not necessarily the reason for it. But yeah, they're on this hamster wheel or on this treadmill. They've got to break out of that cycle. And again, you hit in the draft, you coach guys up, you made the change at defensive coordinator. Get it right, and take a step that so many other teams seem to manage to make.
That's how we felt. That's how we've been feeling. We'll say it again. Get it right. Steve Weiss, you get it right, man. We appreciate you all the time. NFL Network, watch all the coverage, guys. And thanks so much for the time, Steve.
Thank you, guys.
All right. It is Dukes and Bell. If you're just joining us, there's so much going on, and we've got a lot to dive into. Mm. Do not go anywhere. When we come back, we're going to discuss the Hawks moving on from Landry Fields. He's been relieved of his duties. They promoted a guy that we need to talk about. But, Mike, the search is on. They're saying they have a search that they will be searching for this position. All right, okay. We're going to get into that and what it means for Trae Young and this team. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sun. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Bell. Hawks season is over after losing in the play-in. And look, it got ugly in the overtime on Friday. 123-114 was the final score. Trae did have 29 and 11 assists. But other things have happened now. And as much as we will discuss the game and how frustrating that was, it seemed like they were going to fight back and find a way to get it done after being down 17. Today, the Hawks announced they have fired Landry Fields. And, Mike, the gentleman in-house, Anse Sala, has been promoted to the general manager. But as we mentioned, there is an ongoing search, as they have put out there and said, look, we are going to do everything we can to find the right guy. And everybody is already asking me, Dukes, who's the leading candidate? I couldn't tell you. I don't know what the Hawks want, Mike, when you talk about what they're looking for in their general manager. I can tell you that the best franchises in the NBA, if you wanted to go pluck somebody out of there, is OKC and Boston. And, well, you're not getting anybody from Miami because that's basically Riley and Spoelstra. But you could go try to pluck somebody, Mike, from one of these franchises that have come up. You right. mentioned the Cavs have gotten in front of us after just a few years ago, us beating them. You know, Kobe Altman has done a really good job. There's a bunch of guys that we could point to, and we will throughout the course of the show. But, Mike, let's talk about this for a minute because the timing of this. And is this simply, okay, we're in the play-in again, we're not seeing the progress we need, Landry has to go? Or was this, we need somebody who sees the big picture of things, and maybe Landry just didn't? And you know what? Mm. When your team's not improving, and you gave the record since he's taken over, right? Whatever you think of our head coach, I can only coach the guys that I'm given. And, you know, at the end of the day, the general manager's job, Terry, is to get the players and allow the coach to be able to coach those guys. Right now, I look at Quinn Snyder, and I've said this. You can blame Quinn for the losses this year or not being able to overachieve with the guys that we had. But, Mike, the way this team has been built, we have not built around Trae the way we've needed.
I mean, and this is funny. I was just talking to a couple of guys that cover the NBA back and forth on social media. Remember, guys, Travis Schlenk, for those, just to get the chronology right when we have these discussions, Travis Schlenk would not sign off on trading for DeJounte Murray. He thought three first-round picks was way too much, which it was. And, again, you lose draft equity, which you can use to package to bring players in. You don't throw that away. Right? You just don't say, oh, that's nothing. It's something.
It is.
And then, of course, the biggest problem with that was on Trey Young. And the guys, this is not hating, this is facting. Trey never committed to playing off the ball. The only way that was going to work, as you always pointed out, two dominant ball guards can't coexist. Trey would never acquiesce to DeJounte, so the thing never lived up to its full potential, whatever it was going to be. So Schlenk never wanted it. He gets kicked upstairs. Eventually, he leaves the franchise. He drafted Jalen Johnson, by the way. That wasn't Landry Fields. So, I mean, he's a good basketball guy. Since Schlenk left, I don't know what this team is doing. You know, we have the rumors, and we don't know. There was an Athletic article, what was it, two seasons ago, Carl, about how much Tony Ressler's son is involved. And now we brought in Osei Sala, who was an executive with Golden State. He's now the interim running this thing. But it, to me, it's just a very dysfunctional organization. And the last 3 years, 41-41, 36-46, 40-42, in the play-in rut. And as we said, you have gone nowhere. And those other teams, Detroit's better than us. You mentioned the Pacers, and now the Magic have stepped ahead of us. All teams that were below us in a big way in 2022-23.
All right, so let's talk about the real. Can we win with Trey? That's the real. Because you have a financial decision that you are going to make that's going to affect what you can do moving forward, especially with the new rules in place with the aprons, which are the layers of luxury tax you're willing to get into. Guys, we've got $50 million to spend this offseason. 50, okay? If you're telling me we can't go acquire somebody to help out this team and get much better, I don't know who the hell they're bringing in here. $50 million to play with. On top of that, your young core, and to me, Mike, this is the core, and this is not disrespect to Trey, but the core is Jalen, it's Dyson, it's Zachary. Zachary Richache is 20 years old. Dyson Daniels is about to be potentially the defensive player of the year. He's 22. Jalen Johnson is 23. Trey's 26. And I'm not saying that he's an old man, but the fact of the matter is, that's your core. Throw in Okongwu, by the way, who's 24 and showed us he's got some heart. And all of a sudden now you're saying, am I building around those guys?
Right.
Can we win with Trey? Whether you want to talk about it, whether you're tired of talking about it, that is really the question for whoever's going to get this job, Mike. Whoever they're going to bring in, that's the first thing you got to realize. Because, guys, the financial commitment that you're talking about is he's eligible to sign a four-year, $229 million deal. But wait, there's more. If he does not get signed, next year ends, Trey opts out, and he's an unrestricted free agent, which means
nothing.
He walks.
You get nothing.
Okay?
Right. So this goes back to, and I think there's I think every year, and again, guys, we're not going to make this, I don't want the Trey fans out there, we're banging on Trey. It's just Carl's asking a legitimate question. What are you doing here? Because we talked about those teams did not have a Trae Young.
No.
You know, I mean, we can talk about Cleveland made the trade for Donovan Mitchell and they added pieces, but certainly they also drafted. They did it the right way. Then they augmented it through trades and free agency. You know, you look at Cade Cunningham. You look at all these guys that are big stars. We just talked about Banchero and Wagner and Orlando. They're going to be around for a while.
By the way, all those guys, younger. All those guys,
right.
SGA, younger. Tyler Hero, younger. Okay? I'm just telling you, all these guys you're watching around the league, Ant-Man, 23 years old, but younger. We didn't even see Wimby, and we already know how good he is, 20 years old, younger. Mike, this is the issue. LaMelo Ball, we don't like the flash, and that he gets all-star votes, younger. All of that plays into where's your core and where do you go? And that's why I'm asking you this. And there are a lot of people, Mike, over the weekend who said, Dukes can't win with him. We can't win with this guy. I love him. I love what he's able to do. He leads the league in assists. We have to make a real decision. And guess what? Now you're going to bring in somebody that does not have a tie to Trae Young.
Well, this is it. I mean, who is calling the shots here? I mean, Ressler's son sort of fancied himself a personnel guy, had his own analytics people around. That they were behind the DeJounte Murray move. You really need to get somebody with a fresh set of eyes. And guys, I love this question. Who are we going to get? You look at Landry Fields. Landry Fields, man, all I got from Landry Fields was buzzwords, stuff that from motivational books, and a whole lot of nonsense. The only thing I could say he did was bring us Dyson Daniels. Okay? I like the LeVert move. I understand what the logic was behind DeAndre Hunter. The market was never going to be any higher. But you're right. You need a fresh set of eyes, someone who, to your point, is not married to Trae Young. Because you got a guy that was 4 years ago was one of the rising stars in the league. You build around him, the coming out moment against the Knicks at the Garden, and we've all gone backwards. So do you have here's the thing, does management have the backbone to say, we've got to kind of retool this? And
they
you move Trey,
they have to.
And you said it with Jalen Johnson. Now, Jalen Johnson is an upper body. It's not lower body. But I will say this. I've been hearing about our young core for 3 years while we're doing nothing.
I agree.
You don't want to ever get caught up into this term, which is called resulting.
Yeah, it's all about resulting. 404-726-0929.
They got the balls to move on from Trey Young?
I think they do. Look, I think your hand is somewhat forced here. Let me break this down a little bit further for you. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. outside of the fact that I just told you, if they don't give him an extension, which he's eligible for, and he plays next year and then opts out, and you go, well, why would he opt out? Because he can get more than $49 million, which is the contract moving on. Mike, the other part of this is, if Trae Young is first, second, or third team All-NBA, he gets a supermax. That takes the salary up to, ready for it?
Tell me.
$345 million. Now, let me tell you guys. The Dallas Mavericks traded Luka before giving him the supermax. Now, whether you think that was a dumbass move, and it was, the fact is, that's where we're about to be. And you're going to say, well, he's not going to be a first team or second team or third team All-NBA. He just led the league in assists.
You know, again, he may not get the love from his peers or the coaches when it comes to that component for the All-Star voting, but that's a very viable option. And, guys, let's keep it real. Tony Ressler, and I know, like, with all due respect to Steve Koonin, he doesn't run the basketball side of the ice. He's part of it. But they've never shown the commitment. See, this is the argument. You know, I get it. You don't want to get into this apron of the salary cap and all the money that comes with it. But how are we ever going to get out of this rut?
Okay, so Mike,
we're stuck. We're basically stuck in mediocrity. And the only way you move on from this is a big, bold move.
And, Mike, that's what I think this is. I'm not saying that this is the bold move. I'm saying the fact that they realize exactly what you've been saying. And, hey, we've got to get somebody who has big vision. Big vision. Where are we going? Can I win with this? If I can't, I got to change. Right. And that is what I think they're doing right now. So for everybody, it's like down on the Hawks and killing them. And I get it because we have not been great. Let's hope this is the moment that Mike's talking about, which is we're going to go get somebody who understands where we have to go and is willing to do whatever it takes to do it.
Right. Now, look, I like Travis Schlenk. I thought he was a good basketball guy. I thought you look at his draft pick speak for itself. I think we made some really good moves. And Okongwu, that's another one of the Travis Schlenk picks. Now, by the way, the Hawks' next version, I think Jalen Johnson, you're the three. You're the small forward. That's your role. Okongwu's the power forward. You go get a big, and that's a hell of a rotation. And then if you keep Mann and LeVert, I don't know about Mann, maybe LeVert, you got a nice bench, you know, you kind of add some more components to it, you can fix this thing. But the key is going to come down. Does Ressler feel, if I lose Trey, I lose my season ticket base, I lose my fan interest, can I take that hit PR-wise, or just look at it and say, enough of the fan base, to your point, is now coming around to the realization, we're never going to get out of this rut with Trey Young. Trey, now, in Trey's defense, he's had a mediocre John Collins, who I always thought was very miscast on this team. And then I think you look at Jalen Johnson, who unfortunately can't stay healthy. But in Trey's defense, he has never had that Batman to his Robin, however you want to call it. What do you think, Trey's Robin or Batman? He's never had that star alongside. So are you going to bring that star in? If not, then you got to move Trey, right?
You do. 404-726-0929. It's Dukes and Bell. We're talking about it with you because this move could mean a lot of things. The Hawks announced Landry Fields has been relieved of his duties as general manager. That's why we're talking about this. And, of course, the loss in the playoffs, or at least the play-in, you know, doesn't help the situation because everybody feels some kind of way. We weren't able to find a way to get that win the other night. But at the end of the day now, this to me changes a lot of things as far as the direction of where this team may or may not go. All right, more on this and plenty from you. But when we come back, he said something this weekend that I don't believe. And I'm going to tell you why when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. Hope you're having a great day. Hope you had a great weekend. Busy day here as we're getting ready for the NFL draft on Thursday. Mike and I will be down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. A full day of coverage, guys. And after we get done, Wes Durham, Dave Archer, Mike Conte will have draft coverage for you live here on the radio station. And, of course, the after show, which will be taking phone calls and reacting to what the Falcons do. Mike and I will come back Friday, and we will be all over it. So it's going to be a big day Friday, or should I say Thursday and Friday. Today, the Hawks fire Landry Fields. And then, Mike, over the weekend, the Braves did something that we needed them to do, and that was win a series. So they sweep the Minnesota Twins. Verdugo shows his value. Four hits on Saturday. Austin Riley comes alive. I mean, Matt Olson, Drake Baldwin had a home run yesterday. But the conversation now, and has been over the last, I don't know, 24 hours, Mike, has really been about how Brian Snicker said that he didn't see Jarrett Kelnick loafing on the base paths.
Now, I've defended Snicker all season, all last season. It's hard to defend when it sounds like a guy that's a straight shooter is kind of fibbing here.
Well, the thing about this is there's history. And if you missed what happened, right, just to set the scene here, right, for
you. Take it back a while.
All right. Before we get into letting you hear what Snit said, Kelnick basically, he thought the ball was a home run. And the ball hits the wall, and he's thrown out at second. All right. This happened in the sixth inning of a tied game.
Bum.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're not running out what you thought was a home run, which probably should have been a triple, but at least he, you know, he's lollygagging and he gets thrown out at second. So that's the scuttlebutt. That's the discussion here. The problem is when Ronald Acuna did this, all right, in 2019, and Snicker said, quote, he didn't run, you've got to run, it's right. not going to be accepted here, and he pulled Acuna from the game, everybody did this. But he didn't pull Jarrett Kelnick from the game. And then on top of that, when Snit was asked about it, he had the audacity to say he didn't see it. I respect Brian Snicker. He's a World Series manager, and I think he's done a hell of a job. This is crap, Snit. It's crap. Because somebody saw it. Walt Weiss, Tim Hyers, Rick Kranitz, Carlos Mendez, Tom Goodwin. Somebody on your staff saw it and said, Snit, he just loafed. You got to get his ass out of there. But you didn't. And then you had the audacity after the game to admit, oh, well, I really didn't see it. And then Mikey says, well, you know, every circumstance is different. When you pulled Acuna in 2019, you said we're trying to accomplish something here, and that's something special. And the personal things that have to be put on the back burner, you can't let your team down like that. Why have a double standard?
Right. It's cut and dry, guys, and it's a bad, bad look for the organization. It's a bad look for Snicker. And you're right. I mean, it's just when I heard that, I said he didn't see it. And, like, he's protecting the player. Mark Bowman pointed that out from MLB.com. Basically, you know, sort of protecting his player. Was I supposed to take him out? Yeah. I mean, it's. I know it's now six seasons ago, but it was a young Ronald Acuna.
He was rookie of the year.
Here's a guy in Kelnick, you know, who was a first overall pick who's basically gotten all these extra opportunities. And maybe there's a reason why he's on the Braves, because he does stuff like this. I don't know. I'm not a fan of Kelnick. I don't think he's anything special. But it was just a boneheaded move. But, I mean, yes, there's always going to be. Now, you could argue on the flip side, just to play devil's advocate, if you're Ronald Acuna, knowing this is going to spark a controversy. By the way, if this is in New York or Philly or Boston, this is big. Big. You know, we got a lot of things going on this week in Atlanta. We got the draft, we got the Hawks, but it's a big story in a lot of cities. They would pump a lot of air into the fire. But here's the thing with Acuna. You could simply wait till, you know, you have a chance to sit with Snicker one-on-one, and then if you don't get satisfaction in that conversation, then you go public if you want. But I wished he hadn't gone on social media. He felt that somebody told him, hey, you take that down, because he put something on social media and he dropped it.
He did.
But it's still bad. At the end of the day, Snicker, the inconsistency, the double standards are there for everyone to see.
And that's why it became a conversation, is because out of the blue, Ronald Acuna, who is rehabbing down in Florida, tweeted, they would have taken me out. And everybody was like, oh, snap. They would have. As a matter of fact, we saw that. You know what, though? Snit's not done that just with Ronald Acuna. He did it with Ender Inciarte in 2018. For those of you who don't remember, Ender didn't run, and it was a pop-up, pulled his ass out of the game. He did it with Marcell Ozuna in 2023 in a game against Arizona, where Ozuna watched the fly ball, 415. It's not a home run. Pulled him. But you didn't pull Jarrett. That's an issue. And that's why people are talking about it, and I don't believe you. And I believe pretty much everything Snit has said up to this point. I want you to hear what he said when he was asked about Ronald Acuna's tweet. He said he's not on social media, and I don't believe – I mean, I do believe that. He's 69 years old. I don't think he's on social media every day. People tell him things, but here's what Snit said when he was asked about the Acuna tweet.
I didn't have any. I mean, I didn't even – I don't do social media, number one. And I heard about it as I was walking to the dugout. Heard something was up, and then I came in and they said it was down. I haven't talked to him, so I don't know.
Okay, so, and he did pull it down to Mike's point, saying somebody probably told him to take that down. Either way, why didn't Ronald wait, Mike? Because obviously he feels like I'm asking you. What's good for me is not good for anybody else?
Like it's his prerogative. Like I would be upset too. Now, again, some would say, wow, man, 6 years is a long time to hold a beef. But it's something that we've talked about. And this was going back to the days of the Freddie thing when we had accountability in that clubhouse. And I used to joke around, is there a disconnect between some of the players in that locker room, you know, and Freddie, and or the accountability aspect of it? So if Ronald was, and again, he was embarrassed by it. It was a teaching moment, for lack of a better word. But it's obviously – I know you and I was talking. I got elephant memory for people that screwed me over. And certainly Ron felt that this was obviously a tremendous inconsistency and a double standard. He wanted to talk about it. And look, it was an impulse. Somebody said, yeah, as you said, get that thing out of there. I wish he, you know, I don't want to see a controversy. Things are bad enough right now for the Braves. We probably want a series. We don't need this soap opera.
Right. We want to. I'd love to be talking about the fact that we finally won a series. The fact that Verdugo, again, double A, doing something that nobody thought was going to pan out. That's really the story, but it became a story because your star, who else is an MVP on this team? I'll wait. Your star tweeted out, they would have taken me out. That's when it became a story. And Mike, the idea that Snit's answer was insufficient bothered a lot of people.
Right.
That's the problem.
Well,
it
sounded like a lawyer's dodge. You know what I mean? It just sounded like just an equivocation.
Was I supposed to take him out?
I didn't see it. Well, yeah. I mean, look, again, I don't know if Snit, you know, thinks back. Maybe if Snit, his presence of mind wasn't really even thinking back to, you know, the precedent that was set and how you handled Ronald Acuna back in 2019. Maybe, you know, he's just trying to win some baseball games and he didn't even think, you know, I can't speak for Snickers. Maybe he'll talk more about it today. But it's embarrassing. And it does create a situation where, well, why isn't it giving this guy a pass? Who doesn't deserve a pass? And one of the stars of this team, now granted he was younger at the time on his way to an MVP, but he did pull rank on him as well he should. So it's a very big controversy in a big baseball city like New York, Chicago, Philly, Boston. You know, it's as far as the media that's going to be on site wants to push it with Snicker in subsequent interviews, I guess, right?
Yeah, I just think it feels like, and I'm not saying it is, Snicker's been around baseball all his life. He loved Henry Aaron. He's played with and managed some of the greatest players in the history of the game. But it feels like bias towards certain players. And that's another problem people have. And whether he realizes it or not, or he's not aware, I'm telling you, Snit, that's the issue.
Right. And it's always felt, I mean, look, we've talked about this was some of the thing. Now, again, guys, we're not in that clubhouse on a daily basis. We can ask Grant about it. I'm not sure where Grant falls on it. But there was a feeling there was a bit of a disconnect from some of the players, Albies and Ronald and maybe with Freddie. I don't know. But that was I did hear that at the time. But this is why, you know, in a clubhouse, you know, you look for leadership, you look for accountability. We don't really have accountability. The manager's giving a pass to a guy who did a boneheaded move when you're trying to win some games.
Kelnick, by the way, Mike said, no one said anything to him Saturday night. This happened Saturday, by the way. Right. We won that game 4-3.
He thought it was out. It wasn't.
Yes.
And he gets thrown out at second easily.
Yeah. And he says, nobody said anything to me Saturday. And Snit said, well, I went home, and then I came back, we watched it, and then I said something Sunday to him before the game, and we squared it away. Let me hear Brian Snicker on Kelnick and getting thrown out at second. Here's what Snit said.
It's just timing and all of everything. I think there's no blanket thing doing that. Quite honestly, I if you want to know the truth, I wasn't watching that play. I knew he got thrown out at second. I didn't see it till this morning, and then I talked to him about it. If you don't run, then it's a big time like that, yeah. But I quite honestly, I don't look for him to not do it because he plays with his hair on fire all the time, and he's laying out. And I didn't know it till I saw this morning. I went in and I looked at it when I got here, and then I had a discussion with him, and we got it squared away.
See, even that sounds bias. Because what you're saying is you don't expect that from Ronald Acuna in the field. Like, he doesn't play with his hair on fire. So you just wanted to make an example? I mean, like, that's the problem here. Mike, the standard is a standard. Kirby talks about this all the time, right? At Georgia. Standard's a standard. You do something, I do something, we're both going to be punished. I don't care what you are to the team. Mm-hmm. The standard's the standard. The standard for Brian Snicker was set when he became the manager that if you loaf, I'm pulling you. And then this happens, and it just is a bad look. So that's why we're talking about it. You may see it completely different, but I'm telling you, people were losing their minds over the weekend as to why Kelnick was not taken out of that game to set the example.
And we talked about, you know, at the time, you know, as a young player is making his way in the big leagues and learning about accountability. We talked, like, we had callers. Carl, I'm calling you a liar. Guys, well, I don't like Acuna's. What do you mean, don't like Acuna's what? Acuna's style?
Yeah.
Acuna's showmanship.
Swag, his swag?
His swag? I mean, his jewelry? I mean, that's why there's those same fans going, I don't see anything wrong with Kelly. Well, then you got to look at yourself in the mirror. Because, you know, you're part of the problem, too. Because, you know, we're not trying to make a mountain out of a molehill or a federal case. But I am telling you, you don't think that resonates in that locker room with some of those players?
Latin players.
Bingo. Or as Bob Feller would say, Caribbean players, because it seems like, yeah, you're treating those guys a little bit different. And this was what I thought at the time, fair by – look, at the time, that here's the thing. When he did it to Acuna, we didn't complain. We thought,
no,
yeah,
you got to do it.
And it's a time-honored tradition. We've seen bigger – there's been stars that are in Cooperstown that had the same thing happen
Absolutely.
To them. But, you know, Kelnick, who's Kelnick? Kelnick, you're a journeyman. Kelnick, you're just a dude trying to keep – you know, you're a platoon player. You know, and the old joke was, I guess the only argument I could make for Snickers Kite is, who am I supposed to put in? The other bums that I got riding the bench? You know, because we're a little thin right now in the outfield.
Go with 8 instead of 9.
Right.
Set the example. I don't believe, Snit, in my experience of covering baseball, Mike, all these other guys are watching. All of them.
Right.
And if Snit had his back turned or had run down into the clubhouse for some reason, I don't know. The camera's not on him the entire game. Maybe he was talking and having a conversation with Walt West. I don't know. But mm-hmm. somebody else saw it, and they should have said, Snit,
yeah.
that was crap. You got to get him out of there. And the manager is going to listen to the guys that are around him, his hitting and his pitching coach and assistant hitting coach. That's what they're there for.
But you want consistency and accountability. Any team, any sport. It's pretty simple.
That's it.
That's it. Now, as I said, will the media in the stand? So here's the thing. I know right now there's Braves fans yelling at us, I'll make this into a big thing. It's like, well.
Wait, you know who did? Ronald did.
Yes. Your best player. Now, he's got to be on the field, and eventually he will return. But the guy we're all counting on to turn things around, go, hey, wait a minute here. And yes, I do wish in hindsight, but again, Ronald doesn't owe anybody favors. If he feels he's been screwed and he was embarrassed 6 years ago and it sticks with him, he's going to bring it up. But it was 6 seasons ago.
Yeah.
Seems like that's an eternity in baseball.
It does. But
the precedent is still the precedent.
Correct. But what if I told you in 2023, again, Marcelo Ozuna got pulled for the same thing?
Yep.
That ain't 6 years ago.
Right.
So that's the problem here. There have been numerous examples of Snit making a decision to say, that's not going to be tolerated. We're going to play a certain way. And if you're not going to play that way, you're not going to be here.
Right.
And I'm cool with that. I want that from my manager.
Right. And I love Snicker, and I've defended him, but you can't defend this, guys. There's no way you can't say that. Other than, I mean, a gee whiz, because some guys will stop yelling. It's like yelling at your grandfather. Well, the guy's, you know, the guy's been around the league long enough, and certainly here, there will be some fans that won't want to hear it, and they'll literally go, blah, 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 I'm not listening. But, I mean, you don't understand the dynamic in the clubhouse. And it can become toxic if people feel that there's a double standard.
All right. Plenty to get to. Follow Mike, by the way. Mike Bell, ATL. Don't send hate mail or hate tweets or anything nasty. I'm at Put 'em Up, see Dukes, and follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. Of course, you can follow the radio station as well at 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on. We're going to dive back into the Hawks, who have fired their general manager, Landry Fields, relieved of his duties. Anse Salah has been promoted to the general manager spot, but as the press release said, Mike, they will begin a search for president of basketball ops, and they have hired Sportsology? The Sportsology Group?
What is that?
I have no idea.
Is it a headhunting group?
A leading provider of strategic
headhunters.
Advisory and operational support in the sports industry.
Headhunters.
To direct the process.
Okay. Remember we had that? As Orange just said in my ear, think of this as billable hours. Because now you're going to hire somebody to go, okay, I mean, well, here's what I would do. I know we got to go to break. Who turned around the freaking Thunder? Go get a guy from that company, okay? The Thunder seem to have a pretty good beat on how you turn things around. Who turned around, I don't know, the Pistons, okay? There's teams that, oh, they were below us when Landry Fields took over. Now they're above us. So that's where there'll be a starting point. I don't need to pay somebody 6 figures to do that. But, hey, wrestler, you do your thing.
I just hope they get it right. Hey, coming up, 4th and 1's on the way. We're going to talk more about the draft as we gear up for Thursday. And Chris Draft's going to join us, former Falcon, 12 years in the league. We'll talk to him about what he thinks the Falcons should be thinking about Thursday, Friday, Saturday in the NFL draft. It's Dukes and Bell.